My name is John Fornell. I'm an associate member of Veterans for Peace. Like, we have at least two other associate members over here. I'm not really sure where to start about my path and about more recent things that are going on. And sometimes I forget where I am. So I've been a member of Veterans for Peace since around 2002 or 2003. I was very, very angry and frustrated about the wars in the Middle East. And I've got a very good friend of mine from the 70s was very active in Vietnam Veterans Against the War, and Veterans for Peace said, go in Madison, go find the Veterans for Peace. They're the ones that are doing good work. You know, veterans have been there. You know, not all the veterans in our group have been in combat, but they've been in the military. They know how things go. And they know that, they're pawns in the game. You know, young men and now young women sent overseas. So some of you have seen the Memorial Mile, right? Okay, and so that started. I wrote down the date here because I can't remember. I think 2007. Okay. 2007, Fran Wiedenhoff, who was our chapter representative to the national organization, and there's a national organization with chapters all around the country and all around the world, sent a link to something down in Florida called the Memorial Mile. And it's very powerful. So if you see what we have here, that was what grabbed our attention. And so the chapter decided to do one here. Okay. And it started very small. And it took a while to figure out where to do it. We did it most of the time in Ulbrich. It's, as you all know, it's very powerful. People from all kinds of political views who have had family members die in the wars see that as their own, regardless of what their politics are, right? This is a sort of a citizen memorial. Memorial Day is not just where there's sales and picnics and brats. So for many people, it's more than that. And so that's what the Memorial Mile helps to symbolize. We try to have somebody sitting there at the table. Actually, I'm signed up today from 11 to 1. Because people want to stop and talk. And for many years, we had a book that people could write down their thoughts and recollections and memories and why they're there and why it meant something to them. Some of you may know that the Parks Commission tried to stop it this year. Okay. I think in some ways they thought that the parks couldn't get controversial, and they wanted to keep the controversy out of the parks. So they tried to say that this is Memorial Mile is an artwork. Well, you can call anything an artwork, right? If you want to. And so we had to, we basically protested, right? And we had some people write letters to the Parks Commission, and they reversed their decision. However, they're in the process of trying to define what goes in the parks. So when we know about hearings and things, we'll let people know that they can weigh in terms of if they think the parks are, or for example, Ulbrich Park is an appropriate place for such things as the Memorial Mile. I have to drink something. Monday, and there's a flyer out there, we're having our annual peace. We call it Peace Rally, but basically it's a peace event. We have a Bob Kohler, who's a peace journalist from Chicago, is going to be speaking as the keynote speaker. We have Old Cool will be singing. Will Williams will be giving his comments at the end. So somebody here earlier said the topic was waging peace. And so Veterans for Peace wage peace, okay? But there was also an exhibit at the State Historical Society, one of maybe 20 or it's happened all somewhere between 15 and 20 times. It's been set up. It's a display of, I forget how many easels, large scale easels that are like 4x8, maybe 15 or 20. And it's based upon, so this gets back to my early history, as well as this, the man who created the display. He and I were students or ex-students in the late 60s. We may or may not have been drafted. They tried to draft me. I was involved in all kinds of anti-war work. I was living in a commune with three veterans. One was a Vietnam veteran. The others were in other locations. So I went to my induction physical. So they were going to put me in the Army, and I said, "You can take me, okay, but you're going to have to put up with me because I'm going to organize the GI Union here in the military." So they didn't take me. So for good or bad, but I worked in Washington D.C. with draft resistance. We worked with active duty soldiers who were putting out newsletters. We had a printing press in the basement. And the guy that did this exhibit was also, he was at New Jersey. He was working with GIs in a GI coffee house at Fort Dix. He went to Vietnam years later, right, in a decade ago. And so the background is there was a strong movement against the war within the ranks. The GIs and sailors, mostly GIs and sailors, were against the war. A lot of them were. And so resistance was springing up both in Vietnam and here in the country, in this country. Sailors, big battleships, big aircraft carriers were sabotaged by the sailors. So they could not fly the jets to bomb Vietnam. So what's interesting is we call it the Vietnam War. The Vietnamese call it the American War, right? The American War in Vietnam. So there was activity among active duty sailors and soldiers. And when they came back, they got involved. They threw their medals at the Capitol. They had campaigns. They set up camps on the Capitol grounds. They created organization Vietnam Veterans Against the War. So when Ron went to Vietnam to talk or to basically just visit, he went. There's a place called the Remembrance Museum about, and it shows. I mean, there's American ordnance, pieces of airplanes. You know, it's sort of educating the young people what was going on. Just like in this country, people there's fog of memory, right? Kids today don't know anything about things like Vietnam. And he was amazed that there was not one single word about the active duty opposition inside the military. So he talked to somebody there and they said, "Oh, well, give us some information." So he came home and created an exhibit. And I don't know if any of you know, the Wisconsin Historical Society is the repository of all the active duty GI press from Vietnam. So he came to Madison and made copies of all these things. So he created this display and took it back to Vietnam. So part of it, it's huge. So, but again, there's aspects of it in Vietnam for educating their youth, right? You know, we understand when the war was going on, the Vietnamese were saying, "We're not against America. We're against the politicians. We're against the government. We're not against the people." So that's, you know, I think we all understand that there's that dichotomy. And so the Vietnamese people want to make that clear too. You know, they were soldiers that were against what was going on. So I like that story that was up here. Was that something being written here? That's a published document? It's a book. Okay. That reminds me of, right, the World War One, right, when the soldiers stopped fighting to play soccer, right? What else? So I'm an associate member of Veterans for Peace. I'm not going to read you everything Veterans for Peace said, but to me, the number one thing in the sort of the statement of purpose is we want to abolish war as an instrument of national policy, right? That's what war is. War is an instrument of not diplomacy. We don't do diplomacy. We do war. You know, we threaten people. We'll bomb them if we have to. And I get emails, and there's a new director of Veterans for Peace. Okay, so I figured, well, okay, let me just read what he has to say. And it was a good statement, but there was one short paragraph I wanted to read because to me it summarizes everything here. And you know, we all know about the military-industrial complex, right? But how he said it was sort of a new way. The military-industrial complex depends on a number of pillars to keep itself alive. These pillars include the major media companies spreading the empire's messages, the economic dependence of ordinary people using the military as a vehicle to escape poverty. That's the draft. Get out of poverty by joining the military. And the dependence on jobs in military manufacturing to support communities. These, along with the army of lobbyists, think tanks, grants to academic institutions, and corporate funding of elections, all are essential to the military complex to secure ever-growing budgets and expenditures, which this year, for the first time, crossed $1 trillion. So it's a drug, right? They have us all addicted to military spending. Yesterday, there was a young man at the Memorial Mile. Young, well, compared to me, young, right? I mean, he's probably 30. He dropped out of school, went back to MATC, and he said he was blown away with the military, recruiters. Recruiters. I mean, hey, do you want to get your college paid for? You know, I mean, so there it's endemic. You know, Veterans for Peace in Madison, we've tried to have a program, a scholarship program. The original idea was to provide money to go to college, to go to MATC rather than go into the military. We're having difficulty getting students to write. People don't want to write anymore. I was thinking, well, maybe they can make a video or make a rap song or something, but whatever. Okay, I guess the last thing I want to comment or maybe read a little bit here. So part of the waging display at the State Historical Society, which ended at the end of April, was an essay contest. So Madison Veterans for Peace gave a $500 award for the best essay on, you know, what waging peace display means to me. Ron, last name I can't remember, who organized the events, is it Craig McNamara? Secretary of Defense's son, who is basically a strong anti-war person and an author, to review the submissions. The winning statement was by a young Vietnamese woman who is here. She's an undergraduate. She's finishing, in the fall. Her name is Charlene Huwa. And she talks about, we'll read the first paragraph here. When the communist government seized, so this is when the Americans were kicked out. When the communist government seized power in 1975, my grandpa was imprisoned for 13 years for his duty in the South Vietnamese military, right? So he was on the losing side. My grandma was left alone with five children, working three jobs just to be able to feed her family. In 1990, my grandpa was released and successfully applied for a U.S. visa. The story of the Vietnam War is the story of my family's immigration and the beginnings of my life. So she came, as many young Vietnamese people came to America. Their parents, their grandparents were very, very, very anti-communist. But these kids have grown up in America and seen the two faces of America, and they understand. So she says here, when I started becoming more politically aware at the age of 13, I started to clash more with my parents. Okay, so not just teenagers clashing with their parents as teenagers, but also the politics. Observing the vast inequalities and oppressions in America, I always wondered why they were so patriotic. Exactly. After learning more and more about the war and the atrocities the U.S. committed, I began to see the Viet Cong as heroes and as liberators against imperialism. So there's hope. It's hope that young people can see through the lies. So I guess I'll finish by just saying that if you come on to our Veterans for Peace event at 1 o'clock at James Madison, the Gates of Heaven, you can hear Robert Kohler speaking on a topic which sounds kind of strange, but I think it's going to be very interesting. Reaching for peace beyond our certainties. What does he mean, certainties? So that sounds like he's juxtaposing some things. What are we certain of? Or maybe what we're not really certain of. I would typically say any questions, but I don't know if that's what you do here. No, okay. Thank you.